Got a little rain overnight. A few puddles. It'll dry up rather quickly now with it being sunny, a little breezy out there. But man, you live, you learn. It was the last day of school for Regina students. The scene in school yards yesterday afternoon about 2:30 when the early dismissal bell rang out was kids running, vibrating with joy, sprinting out of classrooms like they just got paroled. No more homework battles. No more early mornings or rush breakfasts. And parents, you got to be cheering too. No more packing lunches or having to help decipher mystery math problems that you were trying to impress your kids with that you knew, but you really didn't. You know what it's like. I'm a parent. I know where you are. The calendar finally breathes, too. A little less extra curricular activity now. It really is like the Super Bowl of freedom. Everyone wins here. Ice cream? Yes. Go to the 7-Eleven for a Slurpee later? Yes. Sleeping in? Absolutely. Sanity? Possibly restored for a few months anyhow. And for you teachers? Also a big break. I know. The Regina teachers, I think, they wrap tomorrow. But hope that report card came in to your liking. Not everyone is done with school yet. Today is the last day, I believe, for Moose Jaw in Karenport. And tomorrow, correct me if I'm wrong, you can shoot me a text, 1-877-300-7275. But tomorrow, schools like Lumsden, I believe White City, Belgoni, let out tomorrow officially. So not everyone's in the same boat as Regina is here right now. But last week of school, feeling pretty fine here. When I look at the long-range forecast, I know so many people in my circle of friends who are taking Monday off and starting their summer vacations now the kids are out of school. Hitting the road on the weekend because next Tuesday's Canada Day, stat, but Monday is not. So a lot of people taking Monday off and heading out for summer vacation, and next week is when the warm-up really seems. I'm looking at the long-range forecast. We're seeing temperatures soar towards 30, good chunk of next week. So a little unstable the next few days, but decent weekend ahead. Really hot next week, too. So I hope you had a good last day of school here in the city. If you were out looking for a good summer read and heard about that big Seniors University's giant book sale of the Highland Curling Club, Shep was telling me from the newsroom here that he popped by and he said the lineup was just like blocks long. He went there when it first opened up at 11. It's a biggie sale. A lot of people talk about this run. It runs through Saturday. And yesterday the line snaked down the street for blocks. People waiting to get in. They'll be back at it again today and hopefully restock. They've got puzzles, CDs, DVDs, albums, games, but a lot of books. And is a big attraction. Coming up later this morning, Mayor Chad Pashinsky is going to be popping in for his weekly Thursday visit here. And council preparing now for a summer break after they met yesterday. I'll recap with the mayor what was discussed in person. And I know one of the items they covered in the docket was to approve a couple new wastewater lift stations. One for Wisteria and the other is for Northwest Regional. Mayor's taking a lot of flack from aggravated motorists lately, complaining about getting out of work at the end of the day, and then you're just met with nothing but lineups of traffic because of downtown construction on 11th. And a few business owners aren't too happy either with the way Dewdney construction has gone. Some are suffering a little more so than others. And it really comes down to continually making you aware that, yes, you can still shop on Dewdney. Everyone's open, and there is parking established. But is there enough parking established? I'll ask the mayor if he's been through there and get his opinion on that, too. The mayor stops in at 6:42, right after the 6:30 news. And ahead with Andrew Shepherd, people up north in Denaire Beach asking everyone to stay away for a while here. Over 200 homes in that northern community destroyed by wildfire. And even though the roadblocks have been removed, they're asking non-essential residents to stay out as they got a big cleanup ahead of them. Greg Morgan here with a vacation plan idea. What about a trip to Halifax? Those direct flights start this weekend at the Regina Airport. And yes, it's for the very first time WestJet adding a direct round-trip flight from Regina and Saskatoon to Halifax this summer. It begins Sunday. James Bogus from the Regina Airport told us about it. Not entirely sure why you can't hear that. Oh, someone's been mixing with my computer. Here, I'll try that again. James, please.
Once per week flight with WestJet departing YQR on Sundays. It's going to be a great opportunity for Europe. Also Halifax, man. Check out that Citadel. There's lots to do downtown. And hopefully get some people coming out here. I know Tourism Regina and a whole bunch of us are excited. Hopefully welcome some folks from Halifax to Regina.
Regina to Halifax on Sunday, running until early September. And with these direct flights now to Halifax, I thought I'd ask the Nova Scotia Tourism Office why we should come and visit, and Pam told me this.
You can spend your time in downtown Halifax, or it makes for a convenient base to go to places like a Peggy's Cove. It's the lighthouse, it's the iconic view of Nova Scotia. It's the most photographed location, believe it or not, in all of Canada. It's a small community of 35 people that live there, and they receive about 750,000 people visiting every year. You know what else is interesting is that we have the only airport in the world in Halifax that actually has a lobster pound in it. So this is a Clearwater Lobster Shop. After you check your bags in and get tickets, you have to walk right by to go to security, and you can actually buy live lobster. They pack it up right there at the Clearwater Shop, and you carry it on just like carry-on, but it doesn't count as a carry-on.
There you go, a little inspiration to want to go to Halifax. I've never been that far east, so I'd love to take advantage of one of these direct flights. And Bogus was telling me, too, these flights will make it easier not only for us in Saskatchewan to travel to the East Coast, but also will act as a departure point. A lot of European destinations on the WestJet network as well, too. Hey, Venice is not one place you'd like to be this weekend. I'll tell you, they're bracing for impact. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez, his soon-to-be wife, touched down to Venice yesterday ahead of what might be the most extravagant wedding the floating city has ever seen. After a helicopter ride to his support yacht, yes, that's a thing, and a foam party, which is for, like, billionaires, the couple kicked off a multi-day celebration fit for royalty. Their guest list includes Kim Kardashian, Mick Jagger, Leonardo DiCaprio, and multiple Trumps. And according to the BBC, 5 luxury hotels are booked solid. The local airport is bracing for a logjam of private planes. Security apparently in the hands of ex-U.S. Marines. Protesters, though, in Venice have plastered the city with "No Space for Bezos" posters. And Greenpeace activists unfurled a massive banner that read, "If you can't rent Venice for your wedding, you can pay more taxes." Pardon me, if you can rent Venice for your wedding, you can pay more taxes. And in lieu of gifts, they've requested donations are forwarded to Venice preservation efforts, but that's just not enough. But love may be in the air, but so is everything else that makes locals want to just throw themselves into the canal, apparently, right now. And I just think these billionaires should just all stay out of the limelight. Don't rub it into the rest of us. Stay in the shadows. We minions don't need to hear how wonderful your life is compared to ours. Billionaires should just hang out with billionaires. I like billionaires I don't even know. I don't know who owns Google. They're probably a billionaire, but I like that I don't know them. Just stay in the shadows, counting your money, and brag to other billionaires. We don't need to have you take over and show off in front of us. Okay, I'm done. School's out in Regina, and definitely one of the extra perks about being out of school was just, you know, the fun that you could have on your own as mom and dad go to work. If you're old enough, it felt like freedom, right? Oh, okay. You guys are in charge of the house now? We hardly were at home anyhow, but we were just always out somewhere on our bikes. But you also count down towards the exhibition. I know ours is coming up. End of July into August here, but out in Swift Current, Frontier Days has begun immediately. Their annual exhibition, it's a biggie too, and this year they found a special parade marshal and a gentleman who seems to be a community leader and community favorite. I was made aware of my next guest by several people in the area. Said, please, Greg, put the spotlight on Archie Green, who gets to be parade marshal. Welcome, Archie.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for doing this. How many years young are you?
I'm 89 years old.
Rumor has it you're a legend in Swift Current. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. I hear that you do just about anything you can to help the community out.
Well, it's a good community. I've always maintained that it's probably the best, the safest, and the best place on the face of the earth is right in the southwest corner of Saskatchewan.
I got to tell everyone a little about you, my friend. You know, you moved to Prince Albert to work as a telegraph messenger for CPR way back in the day when you were 16 years old. Do you remember those days?
Oh, yeah. Those were pretty tough days.
And you became a permanent telegraph operator at Swift Current in 1955. You worked full-time. You completed your grade 12 by correspondence from Swift Current Collegiate Institute in 1957.
Well, it wasn't by correspondence. I don't know how they got that tangled up. I worked afternoons, and I went to regular school classes during the day.
Wow, you were a busy man.
Oh, well, had to do something.
You must have got married at some time or another, did you?
Yeah, in 62.
Did you raise some children there?
Oh, yeah. We have four kids.
You've done incredible work raising a family and incredible work within the community here, too, and you've been recognized in so many ways. What are some of the services you've done that you're most proud of?
Well, I guess first off is South Canada, 75 years as leader. I was with Swift Current United Way for 50 years.
Do they call you Archie or they call you Charles?
No, they always call me Archie. Archie was the name of the doctor that came to the farm when I was born. His name was Archie Kiteley. So.
And Archibald, your last name, so I see where you're going with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Here you are. You are going to be what? Parade marshal for Frontier Days. The big fair is on this weekend. How have you seen Frontier Days evolve over the years?
Oh, goodness gracious. I've always been interested in the way the Midway would look after the kids could come and they could get their rides and stuff. And the displays in the various buildings was always interesting, and I've always had really good displays put in place, so it's always an interesting tour to go through there, at least I think it is anyway.
When you were younger, in your younger days, or maybe still, do you go on the Scrambler just for laughs and the Midway?
No, I don't think I'll be taking any rides on the Midway.
Well, Archie, you're going to be the parade marshal. This is a big deal. You're going to be along the parade route on Saturday at 10 a.m. What do you think it is? Why do you think the community loves you so much? You're handsome, good looks, for one, right?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. You've got me on that one. I can't answer that. I do it because I like to do it, and I think it helps everybody. So just one of those things that comes along.
Yeah.
It's certainly quite an honor.
I think you're deserving of it. Everyone I've spoken to about you, my friend, tells me about what a great man you are and how great you've been for Swift Current and area, and they all said you're highly deserving of it. Soak it in, brother, on Saturday at that parade. I want you just, shaking hands, waving, and taking it all in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll have to do all that, yeah.
I wish you well this weekend, my friend. Thank you for joining me for a few minutes.
Well, thank you ever so much for the call.
Enjoy Frontier Days.
I sure will, and thank you ever so much.
You bet. Tonight at Frontier Days, the Demolition Derby. Tomorrow, the Midway, 4-H, a rodeo, and Neil McCoy in concert. And it rolls through Saturday, too, as Charlie leads that parade. Canada Day next Tuesday. There will be fireworks in Wascana Park. And in Moose Jaw, they're celebrating Canada Day early Saturday night with fireworks because, well, they can. And I thought, okay, we watched the Riders beat the Lions Saturday. And there you go, Moose Jaw. You can celebrate with a victory, hopefully. And note it's Canada Day. I caught up with Donna Fritzke from Moose Jaw Tourism Office, who backs up our claim yesterday on the show that one of Canada's biggest roadside attractions every summer is Mac the Moose. We talk fireworks too, but yeah, Mac, you can't believe how many people show up, right?
You know what? You should just come hang out at the visitor center for a day and see the amount of people that stop in to have their picture taken with Mac. It's just phenomenal. I can't believe it. It's so cool.
Hey, you're celebrating Canada Day this weekend on a Saturday. This Saturday, what's the plan?
The fireworks are going to be at Hamilton Flats. It will start at 10 o'clock. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We've got Paradise Fireworks from Regina coming out to do the show. And we're just really excited to be able to join with our, you know, family and friends and start the long weekend off right.
And having it Saturday night, you're so kind to Regina, because anyone in Moose Jaw wants to come to Wascana Park on Tuesday to see fireworks again, you've allowed that to happen. So smart thinking on your part.
Well, thank you. There's a lot to learn with this job, and I'm just really thankful that we can have fireworks, and we're just going to celebrate with our community.
What's the next big event coming down the pipe?
We have Sidewalk Days, and that is starting July 3rd to the 5th. And we have 215 vendors and 30 food trucks and vendors. And we have face painting, and we have a children's village with bouncy castles. So we're really looking forward to doing this with our community as well.
You used to have live bands on the street, too. Are you going to do that again this year?
Yes, we do. We have the Battle of the Bands. We've got a lot of entertainment that'll be ongoing throughout the full 3 days.
That's Sidewalk Days. Looking forward to it. Donna Fritzky from Moose Jaw Tourism. It's week four of CFL action tonight. Winnipeg hosting Edmonton. The Elks still looking for their first win of the year, and some drama unfolding in Ryderville. CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray from practice yesterday.
Quarterback Trevor Harris was not out here practicing, and head coach Corey May says tomorrow's practice will determine what his status is. He's missing the day with an illness and head injury, so we'll have to see if he's able to go during tomorrow's close practice. If he is unable to go, it looks like Jake Mayer will get the start at quarterback. He says he's excited for the opportunity if it comes and feels like it's a breath of fresh air for his career being here.
Kickoff on Saturday is 5. The CJME Green Zone pregame show will start at 3. Playing on the Kramer IMAX theater screen this weekend, one of the biggest summer blockbusters we've been anticipating, the new Brad Pitt movie, F1, shot entirely in IMAX for the ultimate experience. This movie comes from the same people who brought us that Top Gun Maverick reboot, and its producer is Joe Kosinski, and he's excited how F1 has turned out.
Well, the goal of this film was to give people the experience of what it's like to be in a Formula One car, and only 20 people in the world get to do that. So what you're seeing on the screen is something that was captured for real. And IMAX in the expanded aspect ratio with the giant screen and the great sound is the best way to kind of experience that immersive quality of the film.
Yeah, Brad Pitt and the gang, they spent over 2 years and $200 million working with Formula One to create this sports drama. And from the custom race cars to the cutting-edge camera tech, the details are incredible. And at the Mercedes F1 team was actually hired to build a custom fleet of race cars for the movie. And footage was filmed during the race weekends of Formula One, including the race in Vegas last year. And since it was filmed during real race weekends, the filming windows were incredibly tight on the set.
It was also incredibly nerve-wracking because, you know, rather than having a day to shoot a scene or even a few hours, sometimes we'd only have a few minutes because we're shooting during a live event. So we had to be incredibly prepared. The actors had to be, you know, at the top of their game, knowing that you might only get one take at a scene.
I'm not into Formula One racing of any sort, really, but this movie has caught my attention, and I love going to the Kramer IMAX to watch movies that are shot purely with IMAX like this one here, because it is that ginormous screen and the sound. It's like you're in the movie, and this one looks like it's going to be pretty cool. F1 opening up at the Kramer IMAX Theater this weekend.